You're listening to The Mom Inspired Show, episode 386 with Desi Bartlett.
Welcome to The Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg, and this show is created to inspire, encourage, and add a little extra fun to your day.
Hey, you guys, I'm super excited to have Desi on the show today. She is a girl after my own heart. She loves to talk about perimenopause, midlife, taking care of yourself. Also, I love that she is so positive, and she's going to share with us some ideas on how to stay present and not just to numb out and to enjoy your kids and just kind of have a life that is something worth not numbing out for. And it's very interesting to listen to her. And so I'm super excited about this conversation. I also want to invite you guys, if you have not done a coaching session with me, what are you waiting for? Like, I am speaking to you. Yes, you. You know who I'm speaking to. And you are the person who's been sitting on the fence waiting, going like, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should do this. You guys, here's the thing. I want you to lose weight. And I know that you think, how can I keep this off? How am I going to lose weight? I'm not sure. And, you know, you don't know if you should just be like eating only carnivore, or can you be eating bread? It's like, should you be eating, like, avoiding sugar? Should you be fasting? All these things, right? All these things that really can bog us down and overwhelm us. And, you know, you're just kind of like showing up, hoping for the best, you know, changing tactics often. And then when things don't work, you just end up where you started. Like, so if this is you, then hear what I'm saying, okay? I have a one-on-one coaching program. And so you're going to hang out with me. That's what that looks like. And I'm going to walk you through every single step to figuring out why you're not losing weight and then coming up with a plan that is sustainable, not just for weight loss, but for maintenance. That's exactly what I did in 2019. Okay, so even if you're kind of like, I don't know if I can do it, you can lean on my faith that I believe that you can do it because I did it, and I am not a special unicorn. So if you are ready to finally figure this out, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm like gaining weight. I don't even know what's happening, or my body's just changing. I'm so frustrated. I'm so depressed over this. I'm so sad. And I just keep eating and watching Netflix instead of actually taking action. I have you. I have your back on this. I know what that feels like. So if you want to up level, lose the weight for the last time, go to mominspiredshow.com/coaching. When you sign up, you're going to get a free session. This is going to be an opportunity for you to ask questions and just to see if we are a good fit. And so, because I know it can be a little intimidating, scary when you kind of don't know what you're getting into. And it's a perfect way to just be like, yeah, this is for me, or no, you know what? This isn't. And so I realize it's your time, but it's worth it for you, because here's the thing, as moms, we put ourselves last and then we wait so long, and then it takes even longer to fix the issues that if we would have just started doing 5 years ago, we would be in a totally different place. So do yourself a favor and book yourself a session. And I would love to work with you, and I got you, and I can't wait to meet you there. But I am super excited to have this conversation with Desi, and I hope you enjoy it and feel inspired. Let's go to the show. Desi, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm so excited to chat with you today, Amber.
I'm super excited to have you come on. If people listen to the show a lot, they know that I just love everything, midlife, perimenopause, all this stuff. And so you're the perfect guest to have on. I do love to start the show with an icebreaker. And the question that I love to ask everyone is, what is one thing you wish you could tell your younger self?
I wish I could tell my younger self that everything's going to be okay. I had sort of a tumultuous childhood, and you know, I grew up in the 70s, latchkey kid, all of that. And fast forward to today, I am able to give my children everything that I never had. Aww. And so I feel like I've healed that part of me.
I love that. You know, you are not, so one of the reasons, let me just back up. One of the reasons I love asking this question is because it's interesting to see when women almost say the same things. And then obviously when they say different things, I'm always like, oh, that's so cool. But like what you just said, so many women say that. And it just makes you think, like, right? Like, we must just be, I don't know if it's like we're trained as girls and then women that, like, are things not going to be okay, right? Like that we have to be like, we wish we could go back and be like, it's going to be okay. And I love what you said about your boys. I'd love for you to expand on that for a minute. that how that ties into you saying like everything's going to be okay and that you were able to give your boys what you didn't have. What stands out to you in that?
So my mother was this really amazing hippie, and she was a disciple of an amazing guru, Goswami Kriyananda, in Chicago. And I was given a mantra at 6 years old. I grew up with yoga and this beautiful tradition.
Yeah.
But around the age of nine, she lost her way. And like so many women in the 70s and 80s, there was prescription chemical dependency.
Oh, yeah.
And so she just really wasn't present. Mm. And so now what I find is that my boys are my greatest teachers and they're so present with me. And it's my joy, my honor to be present with them. And so part of that for me is self-care. If I can take care of myself so that I can stay present with them, not numb out or, you know, stay on Netflix all day or go straight to the caffeine or be like tired and wired. And just really breathe into the experience of heart opening and connection, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. And I'd love to talk a little bit more about that in the interview, because I'm sure women are probably like, wait, what does that look like? They're like, wait, she's not going to Netflix. Wait, she's not drinking more coffee. So I would love to talk about that. But first, how about you share with us your full name? And I know you just mentioned you have two boys. So I normally ask what is to share your full name, how many kids you have, and how old they are and where you are from.
My name is Desiree Bartlett and I go by Desi. Yeah. I love my nickname. It's a name that, thank you. It reminds me of being a little kid. So it brings back that joy.
Yeah.
And I've got two amazing boys. My older son, Cruz, he is 15. He is an athlete and amazing. And then my 10-year-old, his name is Rocket.
Oh, and I love it.
Thank you. They embody the energy of their names. Cruz is Cruz in Espanol. It's cross. Oh. But he's got that like steady cruising energy. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And Rocket is all systems go.
All the energy going.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I love it. And then where do you live?
I live on the island of Oahu, Hawaii. Oh,
okay. You live in Hawaii. Yes. Okay. I love that. Okay. So have you always lived in Hawaii?
I'm originally from Chicago.
Okay.
And I've lived in Chicago, Phoenix, Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, and then LA for 20 years.
Yeah.
And we moved here during the pandemic.
Oh, okay. Yes. How long did you live in Cabo? I love Cabo.
5 years.
Okay. Wow. Such great places. I love Arizona too, man. You really are like, I'm out. Peace out, Chicago cold weather. Here I come. Warm weather. I'm originally from Michigan, so I get it. I'm in Nashville, so it's not as warm as you, but like it's warmer definitely than the North. So I love that. Okay. So Desi, how about you share with us how you got to where you are today, and then we'll jump into the interview.
Yeah. So I have my degree in kinesiology, my master's degree in corporate fitness. Mm-hmm. I have every certification under the sun, personal training, aerobics, Pilates, group fitness, you name it. Mm-hmm. I went so deep into this arena because I needed to heal a lot within myself. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting was that in going really deep into fitness, it took me right back to yoga. And I was like, oh, wait.
Interesting.
This is what I learned as a little kid.
Yeah.
And so then I got really, really deep into yoga and have done many certifications and certify other instructors. Mm. But all that is just to say, this is what I do every day with so much joy.
Yeah.
And I love feeling good from the inside out. Mm. And for me, movement is medicine. And when my mood needs to change, if I can move and breathe, whether it's a hardcore workout with weights or a really peaceful practice, I can find exactly what my body needs for that day.
I love that. Okay. So also, how about you share with us what you're working on currently?
Yes.
Yeah.
So after 25 years out of school, my 50th birthday present to myself was to go back and get my PhD.
So cool.
I'm currently back in school. Thank you. And I'm about 7 months away, but who's counting? Yeah. I'm about 7 months away from being Dr. Desi.
That's so awesome. So let me just stop you for a second, because I think a lot of women, they kind of hit their 40s and I think they kind of start evaluating, and it may be in their 50s, but I think 40s is the start of it where people are kind of like, how many years now do I have on the second half? Right. And so they're thinking like, am I doing what I really want to be doing? They start really kind of getting clarity on, you know, people might, you know, be getting sick in their life, their parents. And then they see like, oh, like we're not here forever. Like life is short, right? Are we doing what we really want to be doing? But then also I think they think, oh my gosh, can I do this? It's like, I haven't been to school. It's like, oh, you have, you know, either have prego brain, right? When you're pregnant, or it's like baby brain. It's like, you're not sleeping. And then you go into perimenopause and you're like, I can't even come up with a word that I'm trying to figure out. Right. Like it just keeps spinning and you're like, I'm so close to the word. And I know it starts with an S and I'm like, but I can't figure it out. Right. And so here you are going to get your PhD at 50. I would love for you to share with us even that situation, because I think so many of us don't even want to take a leap to do something that kind of is adjacent to like what we're used to. I mean, and you're just going on full on PhD, which I think a lot of people would be like, oh my gosh, like how's her brain doing this at 50? How is she retaining the information, you know, and what a scary thing to do. And it's such a big life change. I think a lot of people would think that. And so I love that you're doing this and that you're here, because I think so many women play it small. They're just like, I don't know, I don't want to fail. Like my hormones are all whacked out. Like I can barely keep things straight. Things are falling through the cracks. How in the world am I going to either start a business, go back to school, start a new job, whatever it is. So what did you feel when you were like, I'm going to do this and I'm 50? Did you have any of those fears that I just mentioned and that you kind of had to overcome them? Or were you already at a place in your life that you're like, okay, I'm good. Like maybe we would have had to find you at 43 or something. I don't know. But like, did you have any of those concerns with any of that stuff?
I did. Of course I did. But what, let me back up for a moment.
Sure.
So when I was in graduate school the first time, my stepfather was helping me a little bit financially. Mm. And I remember I told him at the time, I was like 25 years old. I said, I want to go on to get my PhD. Mm. And he said, you don't have to be a doctor to teach aerobics. Mm. Ouch.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, time to, you know, grow up and go and do what I need to do.
Sure.
But what I realized was I had this story in my head that kind of made me like a little victim-y, and it made him sort of the, you know, like the bad guy that said this thing to me. And he passed away in 2019. And I had this moment of what a beautiful opportunity to release us both from this story and to step into my own power as a woman and as a mother and take hold of this and go do what I always wanted to do and let that be an example for my boys. And so we sit down at night and when they're doing their homework, I'm doing my homework. Mm. And it's something that we enjoy as a family. So was there fear about like going back to school? Oh my goodness. Yes. When they asked me for my transcripts, I'm like, you want my transcripts from 25 years ago?
Right.
Sure.
And let's talk about that. Did you literally have to get your transcripts from 25 years ago? Is that,
I
did
sure
they want
did.
That? Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But in the interim, I've done so much in my career,
of course,
and I've had such a blessing of working with a lot of high profile people that allow me to get the word out to more people.
Sure.
You know, and writing two books and all of the things. So again, every day I wake up with so much joy and love, and I'm inspired by Cruz, who kind of goes with the flow, and Rocket, who's all systems go, and they're my teachers. And so if I can step up and be everything that I am meant to be in this life, then I consider that a gift to them.
I love it. I love that. So is this online, or do you go into school in Oahu? How does that look for your schooling?
This is online. I'm attending Concordia St. Paul University in Minnesota.
Nice. Oh my gosh. I love that. So how has it been with being in your 50s, trying to remember kind of like what I'm talking about, like trying to recall, you know, all this stuff? Does it feel harder and you kind of just have to give yourself grace, or has it been easier than what you thought it was going to be?
So perimenopause is associated with a lot of brain fog. And are there those days when I just can't remember the word and I'm, you know, looking at the ceiling? Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, for sure. But what's been so fantastic, Amber, is that I was able to choose what my doctoral thesis is about.
Yeah.
And so it's specifically about mitigating the symptoms during the menopausal transition. So Does it take a lot of brain power? Yes, of course. But I'm such a nerd because I want to know
what's
going on in my own body.
Yeah.
And how can I share this with all my friends, all my clients, all of my sisters, and just get the word out there so we know that we're not going crazy.
Yes. I love that. I think that's so great. And that kind of goes back to like to what I was saying with people that are wanting to change and they want to do something that like they know they have a passion. Like I, like you, I don't know if I would go get my PhD, but I guess you have me thinking a little bit. No, but like that, cause I am passionate about that too. I feel like, people kind of probably make fun of me cause I'm always saying, oh, it's probably perimenopause. I think people think I'm nuts at this point because that is a lot of times when I'm saying, when people are saying something's off and my friends are like, oh my gosh, they're probably like, if she says perimenopause one more time, but I think it's because we have not been educated to even think that. I think before people would just be like, you're getting older. Like, I think that just was the saying that everything was always because you're getting older. Right. And I've seen, we were talking about this, the symptoms that frozen shoulder is attached to perimenopause. I mean, would anybody think that frozen shoulder was attached to perimenopause? No, I think people would just say you're getting older, right? Like that just is always the blanket statement that, well, you're getting older. There's nothing we can do. And so to me, there could be things that we can fix. And like, that's so amazing that we don't have to just keep saying we're getting older. And so I love that you're doing this. And so I know that other people have these passions, like you have this passion, and it may not even feel as much like work for them because they're just so interested in it and they want to learn so much. So let's kind of dive into this. I want to kind of circle back to what you were talking about, you know, not numbing out and all that stuff. You know, I think too, in this phase of life, women being in their 40s, late 30s, and obviously in their 50s, and they're just kind of, maybe they're feeling burnt out, right? It's the sandwich generation. They have parents that might not be doing well, and then they still are raising children. They're kind of like, how do I even have time for myself? I'm driving the kids everywhere. They have all their stuff. And I don't, you know, you're talking about like taking care of yourself, right? So I would love for you to share, because when you talk, it is so, it's very light. Like when you're talking about, you know, how much joy you have, I'm kind of like, people are probably sitting on the other side, either being really mad at you because they're like, I want to be this lady. Like how does she have all this joy, right? And then the other people are like, yes, yes, I want that, right? So share with me kind of like your background of how you got to this like mindset with, you know, you are so joyful, you are learning from your children. And then also, how are you not just plugging into the TV or scrolling and then just pounding the coffee? Like, how did you get there so that we can kind of give some hope to the listeners?
In a word, meditation.
Okay.
It has been a guiding force in my life. And I wake up before the entire household and I go into a deep state of meditation. Some days it might just be 2 minutes. Some days I'm able to sit for a longer time. And I take the time to connect to all that is, to set a clear intention for the day so that the day's events are not sweeping me up sort of like the spin cycle of a washing machine.
Yeah.
I'm the one who's guiding the experience. And so if I attune to the feeling of joy and presence, and I invite in I'll just say in my belief system, the support of the divine, then I'm stepping into the day with a much different feeling of like, yay, I get to celebrate another day and I'm alive and thank goodness, as opposed to, oh gosh, what do I have to do today?
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. And so I probably would say being a Christian, like the Holy Spirit or, you know, God and Jesus and stuff like that. So I understand what you're saying. And so, you know, for people who are trying to figure out meditation, you know, I think a lot of people get frustrated with meditation because they're like, okay, stop thinking, stop thinking, stop thinking. Mm-hmm. Right. And then their mind starts thinking and then they're just like, oh my gosh. So do you have anything, you know, that you could give us as a little nugget for beginners that are kind of like, okay, I realize like I might not be able to be like Desi. It sounds like she's been doing this for a long time, you know? So how do you do this without running into the issues that I think people run into when they're trying to meditate?
So there's a couple ways to do it, Amber. A really easy way to do it is when you are first waking up in the morning, when you're first starting to open your eyes, close your eyes again, go back into the dream state, and just settle down, slow your breath down, and say, what is my intention for today? And let it come through. And for some of us, it'll come through as images. Others, you might hear a word like, you know, celebrate, whatever it is. Separately, this is part of my life's work. Am I a total fitness and yoga nerd? Yes, all day. I'll get you moving. But I also love to guide people in meditation. And I have that available through my videos and all that I do.
Yeah.
But I'm there as a guide to talk to you, because is it hard to sit still and not think about anything? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness gracious. That's super challenging.
Yeah.
But I can invite you, and my voice changes when I do it. I'll give you the yoga teacher voice.
Yeah.
Let's pause for a moment. Close our eyes. Slow your breath down. And as you slow your breath down, slow your thoughts down. Feel yourself completely present in your body. Feel gravity drawing your sit bones and your thighs down towards Mother Earth. And now feel the crown of your head rising up towards the infinite sky. Come to the place where these two energies meet at the heart. And now check in with your heart today. What is the heart's wisdom? What is the dream in your heart? And you might experience it as an image in your mind, or even a message in your ear. Stay receptive. And it can be as easy as that.
I love that. And I could feel that shift right there. So just for the listeners, because they can't see us, so I even closed my eyes during that and I could feel the shift. So for you guys listening, I would, if you can, take a pause and then just rewind a little bit and just do this. Even if you're waiting for the kids to get out of school and stuff like that, because just obviously we're doing an interview and I was just like, okay, let's just go along with this. And it's like I could tell like, my heart, my chest, it was like more calm, right? Like it's just, it's kind of hard to explain. So, but yeah, it was just more of a, I don't even know what the best way to describe it. I said, we're just like more calm, you know, it was just more calm. So yeah, that was awesome. And so I think, I mean, people could even just pause and do that, you know, while they wait in the school pickup line, or, you know, just standing at the grocery store if there's a really long line and you could maybe keep your eye half shut. And so, yeah, that's awesome. Okay. So that's really cool. And then the other thing too is, how do you keep yourself? So I see that you start your day like that, right? You're starting your like with an intention. So how do you keep from like going and being distracted, say Netflix or whatever the thing might be, whatever your challenge might be that you have to pull yourself like from not wanting to go there, right? Like you just know like, oh, your brain's wanting an escape. How are you keeping yourself from doing that?
And for me, it's very much my children and being present with them. So my 15-year-old has a girlfriend now. And I know if I'm on the phone scrolling next to him, I'm not going to be there to listen to his really subtle question about like, how do I handle this situation, mom? You know?
Yeah.
And with my 10-year-old, it's kind of the same thing. If he comes to me and says like, hey, can I teach you how to use this fancy Rubik's Cube? I can say no.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm sorry, I'm doing this other thing. I'm sending an email. Or I can pause and I can remember, these kids are only with me for what, another 3 or 8 years. This is a season and I want to celebrate and be here for this, because they're going to be gone and they're going to have their own lives.
Yep. Yeah. So minus the kids, like just even trying to keep yourself on track, right? With all your homework, I would imagine. And just the things that you need to do, how do you keep yourself from like pounding the coffee and checking out mentally? Cause you're just like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do the thing. Like what have you found that works to help you do that?
So for me, it's Mother Nature all day, every day. If I spend a few minutes walking along the beach, I'm very blessed. I live in Kailua, Hawaii. And I can go outside and listen to the Pacific Ocean and attune the rhythm of my breath to the rhythm of that movement, or just, you know, like going outside and seeing some green and enjoying some fresh air and oxygen will shift the awareness so quickly from just being plugged in with caffeine all day, which is so easy to do. And I'm not saying I never do it, but I realize when I'm doing it and I stop myself and I say, wait, I have a decision to make here. Do I want to tax my adrenals, go pedal to the metal for what?
Yeah.
When I could pause, go outside, have some water, have some fresh sunshine and oxygen that's going to feed my system so that I can then share that energy with others.
Yes.
So that's my choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, do you know that I lost over 50 pounds in 2019 and have kept it off? And in 2021, I became a certified life coach so that I could help moms lose weight for the last time. But I do know that sometimes thinking about coaching can be overwhelming. And so what I did for people who want to take that baby step is created a podcast roadmap. This roadmap will take you step by step through the top 10 best and most effective weight loss podcast episodes I have done. So if this is interesting to you, you can go to mominspiredshow.com/podcast-roadmap-opt-in/. If this was too long to remember, go to my show notes, mominspiredshow.com, and go to this episode and you will see that link and you can click it. Or you can go to anywhere that you listen to the podcast and it will be in the show notes. Just go ahead and click it and it will take you right there. But this is a great tool to get going and just get your feet wet in regards to figuring out how you can start to lose weight and lose it for the last time. I love that. So for people who, you said you're very lucky to be in a situation you were in. So like say somewhere, we'll use Arizona since you've lived there, when it's super hot, right? Like in the summer and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go outside. What would you do in that sense? So if people are listening and it's like freezing or it's like super rainy. So with Arizona, right? It's just super hot in the summer. What would you say? Would you still try to just get outside even though it was super hot? Yeah.
I would at the crack of dawn. My sister lives there and we were visiting her last summer. It was 123 degrees. It was an oven.
Wow.
But I'm the person who woke up at 5:30 a.m. I went for a quick walk so that I could feel the desert around me and all of that beautiful energy of like, you know, the cactus and the mountains and being plugged into nature, because I feel like we've lost that.
Yeah.
And when we lose our natural selves, it hurts. You know, and then we start to feel sort of empty inside.
Yes. Yes. I think that is really good. You know, I've heard so many doctors and all that say like it's with to get on your circadian rhythm to like get outside, see the sun, right? So then your brain's like, oh, yep, this is the morning, you know, and they talk about getting off the phones at night so that it shuts your brain off, but also to just get outside, you know, that it's so good. I wanted to ask you with perimenopause, like, so your journey, what have you learned, you know, from your own journey, the things that you're studying that, that you kind of maybe been like, oh, this would have been really nice to know, or maybe some of the struggles that you went through and figured out some ways to figure out how to make it better. Any thoughts on that, that people might be struggling with and they have no idea that they're even in perimenopause?
Yes. So my 15-year-old had a sex ed class recently, and they've got one day dedicated to the boys and one day dedicated to the girls, but they each attend the other one.
Sure.
And he told me, he's like, Mom, today was the girls' sex ed, and the teacher asked the girls, what is menopause? Mm-hmm. And no one knew, but he knew.
Yeah.
I was so proud. But I think that really tells us that we need to start to educate girls much, much younger so we understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
The average onset of menopause is at the age of 51 in the US.
Mm-hmm.
Perimenopause, peri means around, simply refers to the time around menopause. It can be 5-8 years that we're feeling this shift.
Mm.
And then we've got the one day of menopause, which represents 12 months with no menses, with no menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
Everything after that is postmenopausal. The three most common symptoms with this shift are, number one, vasomotor symptoms. Mm. So hot flashes and night sweats. Number two, sleep disturbances. And number three, weight gain, which is often referred to as waist thickening.
Mm, yeah.
Now, what I didn't know before and what I can see so clearly now, and I love to share with women, is you can see that this is a cascade.
Mm.
So if I'm all of a sudden, you know, like sweating and like hot and I've got this intense heat, if that happens in the middle of the night, of course I'm going to have insomnia.
Yeah.
I might need to get up and change my sheets or change my pajamas or whatever. If it happens multiple times, now my sleep is disturbed.
Yes.
Now I'm fatigued in the morning. Mm-hmm. So what do? I'm going to reach for caffeine and mm-hmm. sugar.
Yeah.
What does that combination do? That's going to put on some weight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like dominoes,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
So what I found for me, and again, I wish I knew before, is that yoga and fitness can help mitigate these symptoms.
Mm.
Now I understand a little bit more about like how and why and how much and dosing, if you will. But I just want to share that with women everywhere. Mm. Get up, get moving. Don't beat the heck out of yourself. You don't have to go to every HIIT class.
Yes.
In fact, it can act against
yes.
you.
Yep.
You need to have some restorative practices so that we can feel great from the inside out.
Mm. Let's talk about yoga. I definitely am not a yogi. I always think it would be great. And then I'm like, yeah. And then it's hard for me to hold a pose. And then I'm like, oh, I'm not so flexible. And then I tore my meniscus. And then I'm like, I can't be in a certain pose. I'm just walking you through like, this is me with yoga, right? Okay. And so, but I can see the benefits, right? And so talk to us about how yoga really helps with, especially during this time of a woman's life, right? Because people probably be thinking, how is this different than stretching? What does this look like? Which stretching is great. So how about you kind of, you know how you were just saying, like, don't do a ton of HIIT workouts, right? And so it's too much. So what does yoga do that you feel like this really makes a big difference?
So yoga is really the marriage of breath and movement.
Mm.
And when we focus on our breath and we slow it down and we have that full diaphragmatic belly breath,
yes.
we are bringing more oxygen into our system.
Mm.
And that's what gives us that feeling of being really present and really, really centered. Additionally, does it have benefits for strength and flexibility? Yes, of course. But it isn't just stretching. It is an ancient technology that's been around for millennia that brings in the awareness of the mind and body interconnection.
Mm.
So if my mind is going like a million miles an hour all over the place, then guess what? I'm not present in my body.
Yeah.
I'm just off on some trip, right?
Yes. Yeah. But
if I can drop into the present moment by focusing on my breath and grounding my energy, then like I landed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and I feel present. So it doesn't have to be yoga though, honestly. Mm. Whatever restorative practice for you has a meditative element to it.
Mm.
It might be Tai Chi, it might be like a slow, easy swim or going for a stroll. Anything that allows you to drop into that awareness of the breath and how it is married to movement will give you the same effect.
I see. Okay, perfect. And then what do your workouts look like, you know, for helping you during this phase of your life?
Yeah. So I practice yoga probably 4 days a week. Mm-hmm. And then I lift really heavy weights like 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Because during this phase of life, we have a decline of muscle mass and also bone density.
Yeah.
And just because something is common doesn't mean it's normal, right?
True.
So like you're talking about frozen shoulder before. Mm-hmm. Is it common? Yeah. Is it normal? No.
Right.
So do I allow and bless all the doctors out there. I know that most doctors are fantastic, but we have all had that one doctor that said, oh, it's normal, honey. Like
yeah.
you were referring to earlier.
Yep.
It's your age.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We can stop this in its tracks by lifting weights, practicing yoga, or having some restorative movement.
Yeah.
And then also, of course, I've got some cardio in there. I've got kids and a dog.
Like,
I'm walking.
Yeah, right. Yes, yes. How about your food? Are you focusing on trying to get your protein in and all that kind of stuff? Like what we're hearing, like women need to get protein in and do you feel like that's hard for you? Because I do feel like that's challenging for women. It's like, oh, we got to get protein in. How much protein are we getting in? Any thoughts on that?
Yes. So, goodness gracious, most women do not get nearly enough protein. And what does that do? It it affects our muscle mass, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we have less lean muscle mass, we have more fat usually.
Yeah.
So if you are not eating correctly, it can work against you. And simply by changing your macros, macronutrients simply refers to fat, protein, and carb.
Right.
By upping the ratio of protein to carb a little bit, you're going to change your body composition. You will have more lean muscle mass. So what does that look like for me? Mm-hmm. That means I need to draw protein wherever I can and make sure I have it in every meal.
Yeah.
None of this like, oh, I'll have it later, or I'll have it just for lunch and dinner.
Uh-uh. Right.
First thing in the morning, I've got my protein shake. I've got my oat milk. I use different protein powders and I go for it, because you're supposed to have 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight.
Yeah. Yep.
So if you're 120, 130 pounds, that's how many grams of protein you need.
So for you, what do you do for lunch and dinner to try to get your protein in?
So it kind of goes back and forth, because from the yogic tradition, you'll see a lot of vegans, right?
Yeah.
I tend to lean a little bit more towards the veg, like vegetarian as opposed to vegan. I do have eggs and dairy.
Okay.
So I might have like hard-boiled eggs with a salad, with more protein powder, because I just love protein powder. Yeah. I know I'm weird. And I sometimes will like sprinkle the protein powder on top of fruit, because it's vanilla flavored.
Yeah.
So all these different ways to get it in. Also hummus, nuts, there's legumes, there's different sources.
Sure.
Occasionally I might have an animal source of protein, like chicken breast or something like that. Yeah. What I do is I align the type of protein that I have with the type of workout that I did. If I do like super heavy legs, that's when I'm going to have the chicken.
Yeah.
Or a little bit of beef.
The animal protein.
Yes. But if it's yoga, like I'm cool with some eggs.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I like that. Yeah. Cause I do think people get stressed out about trying to figure all of that out. Okay. So any thoughts on, you know, I think we were talking about this maybe before we started recording, like people sleeping, you know, if people are starting to realize like I've been, you know, hearing people say like, oh, I didn't used to have this problem. It's like, now I lay in bed and I'm just thinking about everything and I can't go to sleep. And part of me is like, yeah, I get that. Like people can't turn off their brain, but then I'm also like wondering, because they're the people that I'm thinking about who were talking, I think they might be 50. So it also could be hormonal, right? Like that's also what's making them be awake. Do you have any thoughts that people are struggling kind of with this, that they're just like, yeah, or they're falling asleep, but waking up at a certain time, or they can't fall asleep and then they eventually fall asleep, but maybe they still wake up. I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's different forms of insomnia for sure. There's the inability to sleep at the onset. And then there's something called terminal, where you keep waking up. And that also has to do with sleep disturbances during the perimenopausal transition. So as I was mentioning earlier, that can be part of that cascade. If you're waking up primarily because you're sweating, then we need to go back to like, how do we help with the vasomotor symptoms?
Yeah.
Right. So yoga and fitness have both been shown in the research to help with vasomotor symptoms, also with sleep disturbances. Sleep disturbances specifically, though, in addition to movement, now we also need to go to what you were talking about earlier and the circadian rhythm. Let's get some light in your eyes first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And if you're still experiencing it, then we need to have some sort of wind down ritual or routine, just like we do with our kids, right?
Sure.
When they're babies and we've got like, there's bath time and read the story and all that.
Right.
What is your ritual? What does your sleep space look like? Is it a sanctuary? Do you have the phone 3 inches from your head with the light blue light on?
Yeah.
So we need to protect that environment and really recognize and honor that we're part of the natural world.
Yes.
So is tech fun? Yes, of course, I indulge.
Yeah.
But do I keep it next to my head when I'm sleeping? No.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, that is good to know. Okay, so Desi, we're at the end of the show. Is there anything that you want to touch on or anything you wanted to add that we might have missed and you're like, oh, I wanted to add that point? And then we'll also share where everyone can find you in your books after, if there's anything that you wanted to add before then.
Yeah, so I had my first baby at 37 and my second baby at 42. They called both of my pregnancies geriatric, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
But I'm just here to share with mamas everywhere. It is possible to feel great and to feel strong from the inside out at any age. And if you're looking at me like, oh, how does she do that? Let me show you. It's my joy and my honor to take you by the hand and show you how.
Yeah. That reminds me. So, you know, I was saying this to you earlier that like, I think it's challenging for people who have babies in their late 30s and on to know, like, are they in postpartum or are they in perimenopause or it's like overlapping, right? They don't even know. But I think most people think they're just in postpartum. They don't even know that they could be in perimenopause, especially because they're like, I just had a baby. And everybody just thinks they're not going to deal with menopause until 50. So in their brains, they're kind of like, I'm so far from 50, not realizing, no, this can go for 10 years before, you know, post-menopause. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for those people, like, what would you suggest to them if they're kind of like, gosh, it's like, I feel off, but I don't really know if it's because I just had a baby. So especially with you having a baby at 42, any thoughts that kind of could help women go, okay, this isn't actually postpartum. This is probably more perimenopause, like common symptoms that people might have, but they may think it's just postpartum.
So there's 35 symptoms associated with perimenopause, and they range the gamut from vasomotor symptoms, hot flashes, waist thickening, to something called formication with an M, which is like when you feel like you've got bugs on your skin and you get itchy for no reason. Frozen shoulder, mood disturbances, like anxiety can come on at that time, all kinds of different manifestations.
Yeah.
And what I really encourage women to do is be your own advocate and go see your doctor. And if your doctor isn't listening to you, go to a different doctor, or perhaps go to a naturopath. Check out your hormonal levels. See what your baseline is. What's normal for you?
Yeah.
And then what's happening? So progesterone, let's just talk about this for a second. Pro, for gesterone, gestation, that's for having babies. After we're done having babies, then that starts to decline.
Right.
So check out where are your hormones, what's going on the inside, because we can't see what's going on in the inside. And again, I'm here to support you in being an advocate for self-care.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And I do. And I think that's the thing. People don't really know to check their hormones because I think they're thinking they're so far away from menopause. And there are so many doctors that are like, you're fine. This is natural. And it's like, yeah, well, it's natural, but it's kind of like when you were saying too, like when it's like, yes, this is common, but it's not normal, right? So you have to, there is a little bit of a pushback that I think has to happen. And if the doctor's not letting up, then I think you have to go to a different doctor, right? Because I've had friends say to me, like, a doctor was saying, this is natural. Like you don't, almost like this is just what you have to experience. And it's like, well, there could be like an easier way to experience this, right? Like I get that it is natural. We are going to all go through menopause and be postmenopausal, but that doesn't mean we all have to suffer through. I mean, the itching, what you're talking about, I'm thinking people are probably kind of like, I've heard too, ear itching or itching in your ear or something.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm like, who in their right mind would ever think this has anything to do with your hormones? If you're just like, why am I itching so bad? You probably just think, is there not enough humidity in the house? Like you, that's probably where your brain would go, right? Depending on where you live. And so with that itching, does that mean like one of your hormones is low? Is that what's causing that?
Yeah, there can be a shift in the hormonal panel that causes all kinds of crazy different manifestations in the body. And I lead a yoga retreat with my best friend, who's a naturopathic doctor, once a year. And she has each woman do their blood panel.
Oh, yeah.
And she reads the blood panel while we're off in some beautiful land.
Yeah.
What we hear more often than not is, or what I see is women just hugging her and saying, thank you.
Oh.
Thank you for explaining what's happening inside of my body and letting me know I'm not crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you probably would think you're crazy. Yeah. Wow. Well, I could keep talking to you, Desi, as you know, I said this earlier. And so, okay, where can everyone find you, your book? And I will put this in the show notes too.
So I have a brand new website that just launched. It is Desi Body Mind, all one word, DesiBodyMind.com. And I have my books available there. I also have a new subscription service. If you'd like to be part of my community, you can put in the code podcast for 10% off.
Okay.
I've got my books, my retreats, my videos. I am here to support you in any way that works for you.
Awesome. Well, Desi, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was so great talking with you.
Thank you, Amber.
Hey, friends, thank you so much for listening to the podcast this week. If this podcast means something to you, it would mean so much to me if you'd be willing to take 30 seconds to do three things. Follow or subscribe to the Mom Inspired Show. This means that you will never miss an episode. It also helps me to keep bringing you relevant content and more amazing guests because these are the numbers that they look at when deciding to come on certain podcasts. Also, if you have the time, I would love if you would leave a 5-star podcast review and share the show with your friends. You can do this wherever you listen to the podcast. Till next time, bye-bye.